That's some serious excitement, wasn't it? I tell you, when we started out talking about this series to do it and decided to call it Fear, Less Talk, I think there's just something almost prophetic in that, because the nature of fear is just to keep quiet. It don't want to be exposed. It's the isolator. It's the thing that keeps everything inside from opening up. And so I don't know of a better fitting thing to call it than Fear, Let's Talk. It's kind of like, have you ever heard a noise somewhere and you went to open the door? And you wondered what was behind there? But as soon as you opened the door and light got in there, it was all better. And a lot of times that's the way it is with fear. I tried to think of what would unify us all together around an experience that we all could probably be on the same page when it comes to fear. And I thought about this, probably something that we all have experienced and we all can identify with is as a child or as an adult, when you wake up and you just are in a dead sweat because you just had a terrible dream. Anybody ever had those? You remember having those as a child? And you get up as a child and there's a dream, and then where do you go? What do? Hear the little pitter-patters. And then the second trauma happens when you as a parent open your eyes in the middle of the night, and there they are. And then you start a process. And the process is what was now put inside of their mind, you're going to try to put something else different inside. And so you will say words like, it's okay now, sweetheart. It's all right. And you're trying to put something in of an experience that they had had, and you want to dislodge something so something else can be inside of them. You want to take charge of that because you want them at peace. You don't want them afraid. And you pick them in your arms because there's a picture in them, because they had a dream, and it's like they watched a movie, and the end result of that was fear. And now you're going to create an experience that's going to be exactly the opposite, and you hold them tight, and you say, You're okay now. You're safe. Dad's got you. Mom's got you. You're okay. And you try to put something in, dislodge something out. I don't know that simple illustration is not exactly what the Apostle Paul was trying to get through to the church in Ephesus. When Paul writes them and he says, above all, take the shield of faith and you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. I don't know that part of what he was not dealing with is, hey, you need to understand you're at war. And he starts using the analogy here of the Roman soldiers, the armor stuff they used to put on. And he pulls out, he goes through the whole armor. But the whole shield thing here is what I want to talk about, because unless you know you're at war, unless you realize that these things are coming your way, you won't understand them. Now, what's interesting is when he says here the phrase, let me look at this phrase. I want you to notice the phrase with me. That you'll be able to quench. You shall be able. That, in the Greek, that's one word. In English, it translates through several words. But it's one word, and the word in the Greek is dunamis. And dunamis is the word for power. In the book of Acts, it says, and you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, dunamis. Well, this ability here is interesting because it says, the way it translates says, this is explosive power or dynamic power. We get the word dynamite from this word. So now he's trying to get a picture of negative stuff coming our way, fear trying to find a base, all kind of things happening, and he's trying to say, wait, there's a way you deal with that. And here's how it translates now if I put what I just said in words. Above all, take the shield of faith by which you will be dynamically empowered. This becomes a shield now. Power inside of us to deal with these fiery darts. I never forget that Dean and I had gone to sleep. I mean, by the way, do y'all know that this is a natural world, but behind the natural world is a spiritual world? You know, how many of you know God Almighty is real? How many of you know he has an archenemy that's a fallen angel that is also real, and he's the devil? Yes? And so you have a battle going on, and we're in the middle of that battle. Having said that, it was at night, and we had gone to bed, and a knock came at the door. And I went and opened the door, and there was this guy standing there, and he was, I mean, he was white. I don't mean Caucasian white. I mean white, white. Fear, scare, white. And so I said, "What's going on?" His wife was standing behind him. And he said, I woke up as she was straddling me with a butcher knife in her hand. We all don't know anything about butcher knives, do you? That's back in the day we used to butcher. A steak knife, a large steak knife in her hand, and a male voice was coming out of her mouth that said, "I've been sent to kill you." I said, "Well, interesting. Come on in." So they came on in, and I'm trying to figure out, now, how am I going to get the information, what I need? And also, I came up with a plan, and here was my plan. "Dean, take her and go in the room with her over here, and I'm going to sit and get the information that I need from him to find out exactly what's going on here." So I'm talking, and all of a sudden I hear a sound. It goes, boom! And so I got up and ran in there, and this girl was sitting down on the floor against the wall. And I thought, has Dean knocked her out? And I said, "What happened, Dean?" Dean says, "She looked at me and she started coming at me with that same male voice coming out of her mouth. Said, I was sent to kill him, but now I'm going to kill you too." And Dean said, I didn't try, I didn't make something up, I didn't try to get fancy. Said, all of a sudden, this dunamis, I'm calling dunamis, this ability that Paul was talking about, that believers in Christ have, this power that's on the inside of them, started raising up. Dean said, and it just came up inside of me. And I looked at her and I said, "No, you're not. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." Said, and she flew back against the wall and hit it and sat down. And then she says, "Why did you send me in there with her?" "That's why." It's a real world. And the spirit of fear is a real fear. It's a natural fear. Then there's a whole spirit dimension. And Paul was trying to get this guy to understand, you're in the middle of this war. Heads up. Be aware. You got an enemy, and here's what you need. Here's what you need to fight. You need this shield of faith. Now let's go back and look at that. "Above all, take the shield of faith that you may be able to quench." Let's look at the word quench real quick. Quench is the word there that means dousing or extinguishing by drowning in water. Now what does that got to do with anything? Well, what it means is that back in the day, the Romans had this shield. And they knew that the enemy would fire arrows at them that was on fire at the tip. And so what they would do is soak their shields in water and get them so full of water until when an arrow came in there, it would just push the water out and it would extinguish the fire. And so Paul is getting an analogy. He says, you're going to be shot at. I mean, the enemy's going to come and he's going to shoot at you. And he's going to try to find a place. But it says, have the shield of faith. Okay, that's an army. Let me help. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So faith is built. The shield of faith is stronger. It's built as we get into the word of God, as we read the word, it begins to saturate, grow faith, and this shield, as it were, something starts to happen to it. Put one other scripture with it, Ephesians 5:26. It likens the word of God to water. So now you got faith building, and you got kind of in the spirit what Paul was getting at is now you soak this thing in the word, you get it ready, and now you got something that's ready to deal with this enemy who's going to send you these darts. Now, these fiery darts. What are fiery darts? It refers to an arrow, and the tip of it is they would wrap cloth around it and put it in oil and light it on fire, and then they would send it out. That was one gun. But a lot of the writers talk about something else that also would happen, is they would manufacture the tip of these arrows so that they were hollow. And they would put inside the hollowness another chemical stuff that was flammable. And when it hit, it would light it, but when it hit, then the arrow would break, and as it was in, would cause even more damage. And Paul is writing, he says, you know, the enemy wants to implant something inside of you that then is going to metastasize and grow. That's his strategy. That's what he wants to do. And sometimes with fear, that's what's happened. That there have been some place where it can happen two ways. It can happen with an event, trauma, accidents, death, where something happens and it kind of, you know, everything works just perfect. Your body goes into the flight or flight state, and the mind starts going to work, the chemicals release into the body, everything works except. If the enemy can get involved, what he wants to do is the Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he, anybody know what it says? May devour. What makes a person may devour and a person not may devour? Part of it is he's seeking a point of entry. He's seeking a point. He goes about and finds out when stuff happens, traumatic stuff, other stuff, and conflict, just any way he can wedge himself in there. So now he can be a part of absolutely tormenting you. That's his goal. And he's relentless at it. I mean, it can happen a lot of different ways. And let me just share this. One of the last things we need to do is cooperate with him. Yeah, let me read you Ephesians 4. I'm going to tell you, I want y'all to read it with me because this is an important thing. Read it with me. It says, be angry. Paul's, what's it, be what? Is it okay to be angry? Yes. Okay, but there is a way that you can take anger too far and sin. But he says, be angry, but don't you delve in that thing and don't you let it stay with you and don't you meditate on it and don't you stew on it. Because if you do, you'll move from one state to another state of being. And that, my friend, is not good. Because that is what? Come on. Sin. And do not let the sun now, let the sun go down on the wrath. Now, he says, something has happened. There's some response to it. And now there's a timetable. And if you don't put this thing to bed, it's going to put you to bed. Because you start violating something that's going to get the best of you. So, you get mad. And you just stew about it. Husband and wife. You just stew about it and stew about it and stew about it. Next thing you know, that has metastasized. And now you got a division. And now you got sin in the camp. And now your head starts to spin with all other kind of thoughts. And it grows and grows and grows. And now, read the last part with me. Nor give. So now what you've done, you've given place in your life and in your marriage to whom? You're kidding me. Open the door. Come on in. And that's what you don't want to do. Because, I mean, what he wants to do, this word place up here, this word place, nor give place. That word place in the Greek is topos, and it simply refers to a specific marked off geographical location. That's his starting point. He's looking for a place he can start, and then there's the whole idea of territory and of a region, a zone, his geographical position. Matter of fact, anybody ever said, I need a topo? Topology is when you find the lay of the land. That's where we get the word from, this topos. And so now, what he does is he tries to get something established that's a beachhead. He wants a place that he can start Because if he can get something established, he's got a place he can work from. If you give him place, now he's got a place. Because he's more powerful, yes or no? No. But because you have now cooperated in a way until you have given him the right of entry. Can I pause just for a second and give you just a few ways? Because this topography, he don't want to stop here. He never stops where you let him in. Because again, it's a geographical point of entry, but he never stops there. How many of you have ever had an attack of the enemy on your money? Anybody at all? Yeah. How about on your health? How about your marriage? I remember when Dean and I were first married. And we had gotten in some kind of conflict, and I totally can't remember what it is, but it was her fault. and so I went to pray, and I had my robe on, and it went down to about here. And so when I knelt down on the couch in front of me, my legs were exposed. As I was praying, I felt something cool run across the back of my leg like a breeze. Somebody opened the door and a cold breeze came through. And as quickly as it went through, I heard the words, "There's been a demonic spirit sent to destroy your marriage." This is not about communication breakdown. No, this is not about just having a conflict. This is about a strategic plan. The enemy was trying to give find a point of entry so he could establish this beachhead and have a place for him to operate out of. And can I just take a moment and say, this Halloween stuff, you don't want to open doors of fear by fooling around with all this stuff at Halloween. There's a spiritual world back there, and you start dressing up as goblins and start doing all kind of demonic stuff, and you'll open doors of fear and stuff that you don't even want. And I see culture heading that way in a way. They just don't have a clue about this reality. It's about a bacteria that exists somewhere, and somebody don't even know it, and they don't wash their hands to get clean, and next thing you know, they're sick. I just see so many homes and so many places, and they're delving into something that they don't have a clue of the satanic stuff that happens around Halloween. Now, am I anti-Halloween in that regard? No, we'll find a way to redeem it, because we always do. And I think this year with my grands, I think they're going to dress up as a fish.
Shark.
Anybody know the shark song? Lord, no, I've chased them around everywhere with that sharky, sharky, shark song. And so we'll go and we'll give them a little candy and do something. But that's it. And so could I just say a good warning about there's a way that you participate in not only anger, but other things. Things like old hurts and wounds that you don't get fixed. Like you don't acknowledge what you did wrong. You don't apologize. You don't own stuff. You harbor it. You judge others. You just keep that attitude going, and it grows and grows and grows. You don't ever say you're sorry. You don't ever take your rights and lay them down. You always feel like you have a right for it. Well, friends, those are doors. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is a door. It says, and you don't want to give place to whom? The devil. Is he real, yes or no?
Yes.
Is he trying to find a place in your home, yes or no? Yes. Is he trying to find a place in your head, yes or no? Yes, and so there's a way that we have to be wise enough to say, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to do this in relationships. He's trying to do it in friendships. He's trying to do it in the marriage. He's trying to do it in my money. So I got to put a stop to this. And that's the reason he's writing him about pulling up this shield of faith. Now, let's look at this word from just the devil just for a moment. Because it's made up in the Greek of two words, and I'm not even going to deal with the second one. The first one I just want to deal with for this point, to make this point, and that is, It's the two words. The first one is D-I-A, die. It's like the word dialogue. Dialogue, the real word dialogue, means that there's log, logos, and the die is that words are passing through between two people and they're having dialogue. Make sense? This die is passing through. That's what it means. It means to go through. But it says our adversary is looking for a point of entry. a penetration so he can get in. And so if he can find this place where you let him in, then he will take that and he sets up a beachhead and he starts to work there. And that's the reason why that oftentimes when you start down this road, you may have to go and figure out, where did he get this hold? Where did this door open? Am I clear on forgiveness? Have I opened a door of fear? I mean, there, you think I would? No, I gotta. Somebody needs to pray for me. I move on. I need to regress, but I'm gonna regress anyway. You think I would take my kids to a haunted house? Anyway, all right, let's move. So everybody say, move on. Come on, move. But my point is, I see kids open and parents opening doors and letting stuff in, and the kids don't have any clue. And they don't know why the nightmares is, and let them watch all kind of movies and play all kind of games and do stuff that they have no idea their doors you're opening. And you're opening, and then the kids, you know, receive sometimes the blunt of it, and the enemy, there's nothing he likes better than to get a young, innocent kid and destroy him. Nothing he likes better than take innocence, which is in dad and mom's arms, and safety and wholeness, and just enjoy life and have vision and hope and just be fully alive. There's nothing he likes better than take a little fella, a little gal, and cause them to live in torment for the rest of their life. So, so he's looking for a place of entry. It can be one big deal, such as trauma, such as accidents I mentioned, other way, rejection, abandonment. There's big items that he'll start to try to work. And then there are small things, like unforgiveness, like conflict that you don't fix. And this timetable goes by, and you nurse it until now he finds a place. And now it just starts to build a web and build a web and build a web. And it increases. I'm about to show you a video, and let me just give you a heads up on the video. It really is strong. But it deals with this fear. It deals with three people, different age groups. But they have this, exactly what we've laid out right here. You will see where this thing is played out in real life. A, information comes, and you'll see them get the information, and you'll see what I think behind it is the enemy always trying to take advantage of and put his spin on and build a stronghold so he can control a person and destroy him. That's his ultimate goal. Take a look. Thing you'll notice about each one that was involved in that video, each one of them were by themselves. And each one of them were processing something that had happened, obviously. But you watched the message, even when she was texting, and finally it said, just kill yourself. And it's like the old bell jar, where that's the only thing that's getting into their head. That's the only thoughts that are going over and over and over. There's nothing new coming in. There's no shield of faith at work. There's no word of God at work. It's that you reach a point of despair. And that's the reason why if there's, when I wrote you guys a letter this week, they would be talking about pushback. Because for those of you who want and need to make advance, the enemy, he don't want to give up this territory. Remember, he got entry. He does not want to give it up. And so he'll push back and have you do all kind of excuses, or it's not that bad, or whatever we can tell ourselves. But let me tell you this. Here's what I'm absolutely convinced of. If I could take every single one of us, and just like the parent who picked up the child and after they had the dream, If we could be in Father's presence, and if he started flooding our soul with his love, perfect love casts out fear. And so much of the underlying fears are fear of being who we are, fear of being authentically me, fear of not being, fear of showing who I am, fear of all the past failure and rejection. I'm afraid to open up again, and what seems to be playing safe really is life is on pause and I'm not fully engaged. But what I'm convinced of is in God's presence, and it may take more than one time. It may take talking with somebody. It may take a buildup of this word in your life and saturating this shield of faith. But I'm convinced that in God's presence, all these places of strongholds and all these fears just lose their strength. In perfect love, you're fine. You're finally safe. You're finally okay. You finally measure up. You finally, at the core of your being, you finally are at home. And I believe that's what God wants for each and every one of us. But you'll notice every single one of those guys, when they started getting better, it was somebody else walked into their world. It was some information got in here just other than what's just in their own head. If I had to give you a few step process, obviously the first one would be to connect with God and learn how to keep that connection happening so that God can love you. So it gets into your being and it floods you. And it's not religion and about guilt and shame. It's about the Father loving you. And the second thing is, don't stay by yourself. Come out. Talk to somebody. Tell somebody what's going on. Find somebody that's safe, that's a friend or somebody, or go see somebody, whatever it takes. But just don't let him keep you in isolation, suffering. Now here's how we're going to end this series. We're going to have communion this morning before we leave. We're going to come around the Lord's table. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to lean into this with me. And let's believe together. Because there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. And around this body of his brokenness and around his blood, let's believe together that God really can get in and can help all of us. So if you would, it's an open communion. And by that, I mean that you don't have to belong to this church. If you're here and you're a Christ follower, please feel free to take communion with us. We'd love for you to do that. But if you would, just take the elements as they pass them by and hold them. And then I'll come back in just a moment, and we'll all have communion together. But as they do that, let's worship together, if you would. Now they were eating, and Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he says, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink it all, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, if somehow you are new to this, our communion has always been it's kind of like just a ceremony that you take, religiously. Christ never intended for that to happen. What he intended to happen is that when we come together like this, when he said, do this until I return, he actually said. And so what he intended was that whatever state of being that we're in right now and whatever is going on here, that because Christ was broken, he has transferred now his wholeness to us. He was broken in our place so that he could give us his wholeness. Make sense? And in the same way we were saved by our sins being forgiven by his blood, is we're on the journey to wholeness now, and none of us have made it all the way yet. We got a ways to go, yes? And so when we have communion, it is to take where we are and say, now I am believing for you guys. I am believing that whatever needs to happen is going to happen. And so I'm going to put this back where my illustration was. And you can just keep your eyes open. But around his body, he was broken so that we could receive wholeness. It'd be a great time to believe for your health. It'd be a great time to believe for healing. Because the Bible says, by his stripes, we were healed. And so there's a purchase of that help for us. And I think it is in all kind of different ways. I think the reason that they put the crown of thorns on him, because part of that redemption was he was buying our freedom mentally. I think part of the reason they put the sword up in his side and eventually went through his heart was because he was buying something for the inside of healing for us, not only of sin, but of the effects of sin. And so I think the whole thing is a redemptive part. So what I'm believing right now is, Father, would you come by your Spirit, and where there's brokenness and shatteredness among us, we receive by faith your wholeness because, let's everybody break it one time, because you were broken for us, we receive your wholeness now. In Jesus' name. Would you take and eat? Some of you may have said, well, Mike, you got pretty passionate about Halloween. And it's just about this place that people can give the enemy. That's what. And that's why when in the Bible it had a demon-possessed man, totally possessed, and Jesus delivered all the demons, and they were bunches of them, came out of the man, and went into the pigs, animals, and when they ran and drowned themselves. But you know where they found that man? Demon-possessed man, you know where he hung out? In the graveyard. That tell you something about where those spirits go and dwell and the symbolism that's in all this stuff. And so I'm going to believe right now that, and if you would, that they'll just come by the power of the blood of Jesus, a cleansing in our minds and of every place the enemy has foothold. Could we agree together that today we're making a choice, and this choice is that there is something to pleading the blood of Jesus. And by pleading it, I mean you just apply it. It's a biblical pattern where they took the blood and put it on the doorpost. And so I believe this is viable. And just let me minister to you for a moment. Then we'll take. I plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. I plead the blood of Jesus who bought you and paid the price of his life for you to give you life. I plead the blood of Jesus over your emotions, over the part of you that has feelings, and I plead the blood of Jesus over your spirit man. I plead the blood of Jesus over you, and I bind every spirit of fear right now by the power of his blood, and command the spirit of fear to take his hands off of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Would you take and drink? I know you can't do this, but let's do this visual because you got this thing in your hand. Pass it down to the end of your row, and they'll come and get them. And as you pass them, I want you to look at this visually, because let's believe this together for every single one of us. In Jesus' name, freedom. In Jesus' name, freedom. Would you agree with me? In Jesus' name, freedom. And let's stand together and sing. We just got to sing this song one more time before we go. It's kind of like turned out to be the theme of this thing. But let's just say it out loud together with me. Devil,
no.
Not today.
Not today.
Let's worship together before we go.